if you believe, you better believe, it's Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. You better wake up and tell somebody, right? Welcome to another edition of our program, scheduled every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m., featuring a number of speakers. Music, like poetry, has a message, and history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can all comprehend, like definitions. Now, news creates a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, pull back the curtain and see the contributions of our diaspora, and you will find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, vibrations. So thank you again for joining us to hear a different perspective from our community. Now, without any further ado, for the student host to introduce himself and start our program.
Yes, and I want to wish everybody a happy new year, and I want to get into my first segment of today, which is diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, for today's diamond, he is a man that I believe a lot of people don't really know, and he is a pioneer in his field and an inspiration to somebody who wants to pursue into the aviation field and engineering. And his name is actually Frank Calvin Mann. Now, see, Frank Calvin Mann is a native of Houston, Texas. His parents wanted him to become a school teacher, but from childhood, he had a natural ability to fix things. At age 11, he had his own mechanic shop. As a teenager, he worked alongside airplane mechanics repairing engines. By the age of 20, he had designed and built several of his own Model T cars. It was unheard of in the 1920s for a black man to have anything to do with cars, trains, or airplanes. His lifelong friend, Howard Hughes, was instrumental in opening doors for Mann's exceptional talent. Mann attended the University of Minnesota and UCLA, where he earned a mechanical engineering degree. World War II equipment that revolutionized military weaponry would not exist if it was not for his involvement. Mann was the first black commercial pilot for American Airways. He was also a distinguished military officer. In 1935, during the Ethiopian War, Mann flew recon missions for the Ethiopian Army. He served in the World War II Army Air Corps and was the primary civilian instructor for the Tuskegee Airmen in 1941. He left Tuskegee after a rift with the U.S. government, which did not want the squadron, an all-black unit, flying the same caliber of airplanes as their white counterparts. A bitter man refused to have his men fly old World War I biplane crates because his airmen had proven themselves as equal. Though they were being given inferior equipment and materials, the squadron never lost a plane, bomber, or pilot, and they were nicknamed the Red Tails. After the war, Mann was instrumental in designing the first Buick LeSabre automobile and the first communication satellite launched for commercial use. His pride and joy was a miniature locomotive housed in the Smithsonian Institute. Mann also played a principal role in the Amos and Andy radio show. He moved back to his hometown in the 1970s, and he would end up passing away 20 years later in 1992 in Houston. And that concludes my excerpt, I guess you could say, on Frank Mann. And, you know, as everybody just heard me read, you understand that he He is a person that innovated things. He is a person that was a pioneer in the aviation field when he was flying with the Red Tails. You know, because at that time, all black squadrons weren't really accepted. You know, but they proved themselves to be good enough as others, as the other counterparts. And, you know, even with worse equipment, they were still able to keep everybody alive, never lost a bomber, never lost anything. And everything was intact. And, you know, that just shows the talent and the dedication he had to his field. And also, you know, also designing the first Buick LeSabre automobile and, you know, and being connected to these different people that were also pioneers and aviators and also inventors. You know, he's somebody that we should talk about more, I believe, because this is stuff that he created and a lot of people don't really even know his name. So I just want to shout out him. I want to shout out Frank Mann for doing these things, for being an innovator, for being a pioneer, and, you know, being an aviator in this field. And, you know, I just hope more people start to research and understand who this guy is. So thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing that innovative information about Frank Mann, who was a personal friend of Howard Hughes. Now, Walter, you may not know who Howard Hughes is, so that's a little bit more research for you to go check in on. And in aviation, and I know you have more information about aviation and innovation and struggle and human rights, but as we continue moving, we're doing the Quest Live on 89.5.
Chris in the building. So my segment for today is definitions. Definitions. This segment provides the listeners with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together the common basis to say that we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and have it, and not have it defined for us. So my definition today is arduous. It comes from the Latin etymology arduous, ardu, meaning steep, difficult. Arduous, difficult to overcome, involving and requiring strenuous effort. Difficult and tiring. So I chose this because we just left an arduous year. 2020 was real difficult for a lot of us. We had to deal with a lot of difficult politicians, tough situations that made our living arrangements pretty difficult to live in. So I want to wish that everybody leave 2020 and enter an arduous-free 2021. It's arduous.
And why did you choose this particular word? I mean, not that you didn't tell us already.
Well, yeah, you can always dig deeper. So if we look into it personally, we all have our own trials and tribulations to overcome. And 2020 was a real collective struggle for everybody. You know, we had a lot of political interferences with our personal lifestyles, which kind of drew everybody in that same box of having to, you know, deal with struggles. And, you know, so that you don't fail, when your back is against the wall, you know, you pull miraculous features. So when you're faced with hard tasks, you do what you got to do to survive. And arduous, everybody deals with struggles. And I'm no exception. My arduous task last year was overcoming a semester, and it was pretty tough for me. But I buckled down and I got through it, on top of having to deal with the coronavirus, you know, prevents us from going on campus. So that was pretty hard for me. How about you? You have anything that you would consider an arduous situation for you?
Well, absolutely. I'm going to consider a solution. Stay strong and don't give up. It's going to be the theme as we continue with the sounds of Loose End. Shake the ground.
Yeah. Some more of the music we just played. And now I would like to move on to another guest of ours, Mr. Shelton Harris. Mr. Harris, are you here?
Yes, Hotep. I'm going to kind of work into our little chains of events. Let me explain this first, though. Chains of events is an interpretation of the news as it affects our community from the Alloys of North. It's a report on the events in politics, law, business, education, and science, and it reveals an interpretation from one event to another so that the listener will know what's going on. And today, you know, you ever wonder why people believe a certain way, knowing that it really makes no sense at all? A lot of times their rationale is that, well, I read it in a book. Today we're going to explore some of the things that you can read in a book. In 1735, a Swedish biologist called Carl Linnaeus wrote a book called The Nature of Systems. He was known as the father of modern taxonomy, which means he came up with ways to categorize different animals and plants. You know, and he was pretty good at what he did. But he also categorized human beings, which turned out to be the root of what's called scientific racism. All right, let me go a little into that little definition. Scientific racism is a pseudoscientific belief that evidence exists to support or justify racism, racial discrimination, racial inferiority, and superiority. But, you know, like I said, Carl Linnaeus broke the human family into four categories. Category one was Homo Americanus. He said their skin was red, they had black hair, slight beards. They were obstinate, free, and regulated by customs. This was meant to demean them and denigrate them as being less than, the idea that they were regulated by customs. Number two was Homo Asiaticus. He said their skin was yellow. They were melancholy, had black hair, brown eyes, and were governed by opinion. And he also said that they were stingy. You know, maybe that's because when European colonizers came through, they weren't readily available to give up their land and resources to them, which is why they were really the last to be colonized by Europeans. The third category was Homo Africanus, the lowest on the list to help justify slavery at the time, because we are talking 1735. They were black, cunning, lazy, curly hair. Women acted with no shame. I guess like Gil Scott Heron said, no time was given dealing with the environment. It just wasn't civilized to have people walking around like that. And they were ruled by impulse. And they tended to be real relaxed. This reasoning for being ruled by impulse meant that they needed to be controlled. Coincidentally, like I said, this was at the peak of the Atlantic slave trade. And let me say that Linnaeus had never seen any other people than white people. But because he was a well-known scientist and it was in scientific journals, people took everything he said as true. And the fourth category was Homo Europeanus. These were white people, long flowing hair, muscular physiques, blue eyes, inventive, and they were governed by laws. And he felt that this was what separated them from the other races and made them the standard bearer for humanity. Now, combining people's physical characteristics and cultural aspects is grossly inaccurate because everybody is different regardless of their situation. But this led to the justification for white behavior around the world in 1735, such as the ethnic cleansing of the indigenous North Americans, the enslavement of black people, the ethnic cleansings of the Southeast Asians, basically rationalizing all the behaviors that the Europeans had at that time. Because why not? He was a famous scientist. All his stuff was taught in schools for a few hundreds of years. And why not believe what he said was true? Even though people at the time didn't really consider Linnaeus himself as a racist, but his conclusions were the very Eurocentric in focus and were used to, as a justification for all the racist things that were going on in the world then and continue to go on in the world today. You know, but I just want to know if anybody has any questions about Carl Linnaeus, the most unsung racist person that ever lived on the planet.
I'm gonna let Tanisha Garner probably ask you a question or make a comment to Mr. Harris.
As my mother say, opinions, people have their own opinions. And especially when it comes to evidence. You know the rest of the statement. I just can't say it online. But
yes, we know.
But I guess everything is in the proof, and everything is, if we're coming from a scientific point of view, you always have to look at the evidence and the facts. So when you look at it as indigenous aborigines, as you know, as we said, because that means we're closer to the land, understand the land, you know who we are. Because if we were so, I guess, so lazy and didn't have a mind to think, how did we build the pyramids? How did the Moors go inside Europe and teach them certain ways? How did the gentleman that we were just speaking about, that deal aviation, when they actually gave them faulty tools and faulty machinery that did not fail? So anyone can say anything at the end of the day, as long as you know who you are, and that's what I take from it. People, as long as you know who you are, nobody can tell you different, and your facts is going to be able to prove you at the end of the day.
Okay. I'm going to let that be the last word, but you're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5. And now coming back to the stage, our student host, Walter Pierce.
Yes, and I just want everybody to know that you're listening to 89.5 WSOU. And to continue with another diamond, I want to go into now a woman who's similar to Frank Mann in a couple ways because she was in the aviation field. And now, without further ado, her name is Bessie Coleman. But see, in 1921, a time of both gender and racial discrimination, Coleman broke barriers and became the world's first black woman to earn a pilot's license. Because flying schools in the United States denied her entry, she took it upon herself to learn French and to move to France to achieve her goal. After only 7 months, Coleman earned her license from France's well-known Cadran's Brothers School of Aviation. Though she wanted to start a flying school for African Americans when she returned to the U.S., Coleman specialized in stunt flying and parachuting and earned a living brainstorming and performing aerial tricks. In 1922, she became the first African American woman in America to make a public flight. But sadly, only in 1926, at the age of 34, she was tragically killed in a rehearsal for one of her aerial shows. So she was very young, very, very young when she passed. But really, the message here with Bessie Coleman is just another, again, like Frank Mann, him being a pioneer for people of color to be able to fly. Be able to fly in the war, you know, when they weren't really accepted into that. Bessie Coleman even had it so worse where she had to go to another country to just get her license in France. And, you know, we have to just give her a lot of more props to what she could have done because her traveling back to the United States, you know, even after after people in the United States didn't even allow her to get a license for aviation, for flying, a pilot's license, still wanted to come back and help her people and help people learn how to fly and become a pilot. So we have to give props and credit where credit is due for that particular circumstance. And you know, we could only just imagine what she could have accomplished if she had the chance to, because, again, she passed away tragically at the age of 34. But, you know, just, again, somebody who's a pioneer, somebody who's another aviator, just also somebody, you know, who I believe we would have been talking about a lot more if she just had the chance to accomplish what she wanted to. But you know, she has very good intentions, and I just want to thank her and, you know, shout out Bessie Coleman again for inspiring people. So thank you.
Very good. When we talk about disparities and innovation and aviation and the struggle for human rights and definition and social justice, we're talking about Quest Community Vibrations, and we're talking about making waves. And that being said, I want us to continue with another segment. And, Chris, do you have a segment for us for Curtin?
I'm here. Yeah, so Nipsey Hussle, he's a rap artist from the West Coast. So the segment is Curtains, where we talk about what music artists did for their community after reaching a level of success. So Nipsey Hussle, he was deeply involved in a movement that he created called Destination Crenshaw, and he opened the Air Public art project in the neighborhood that began construction in the spring. Last year, the rapper opened a shared working space called Vector 90. He done a couple of other things. He's invested in some things. He is also he Nipsey Hussle deeply concerned in the South LA communities, and both Crenshaw and Hyde Park made investments. He's a philanthropist. He made contributions that spoke to diverse needs of residents. Not only had affordable housing plans in the works, but he was also coupling that development with affordable health and food access. So a lot of people have a lot of concerns about the artists these days, about whether, you know, they contribute back to their community once they reach a level of success. And some people don't. But here's an example of someone who has passed. He has passed away not too long ago, I might add, as well. He was murdered. But Nipsey Hussle definitely gave back to his community. He tried to make sure that those that were living in less than par of situations were able to make it by, you know, because he's seeing how things aren't really that affordable. And that's, and we talking before, you know, a lot of the government reconstruction for minimum wage and things like that. So things were even harder then when he was investing in his community. So Nipsey Hussle, he gets an applause from me for reaching back to his community and trying to pull it up, you know, make sure it's, you know, livable. You know, it's really difficult to make success and just abandon where you come from. You know, it disbands you from who you are, where you came from, and then your community won't even respect you. So he did what I would consider as the right thing, to give back to his community in those ways.
My end is dedication. This is anti-hesitation. This is real in the celebration. This is a dime block declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla waste. This is the remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation. Blue pill in the open matrix. Red rose in the gray pavement. Young black nigga trapped and he can't change it. Know he a genius, he just can't claim it. Cause they left him no platform to explain it. He frustrated, so he get faded. Like deep down inside, he know you can't fail. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? I need some real within reparation. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication, hard work, plus patience. Some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication. Spent my whole life thinking out the box. Boxing homies 3-on-1, got DP, but I ain't dropped. Chirp on me, here I come. Spin around the block, they broke on me. Said I ran a stop sign, but that's a lie. I spent my whole life staring at the stage, playing Sega. Daddy smoking Sherm, mama playing spades, catching vapors. Grandma said I get some Jordans for my grades. That's my baby. When she died, my heart broke 100 ways. Spent my whole life trying to make it, trying to chase it. The cycle of a black man divided, trying to break it. You take a lot, this shit don't cry about it. Just embrace it. Minor setback for major comeback. That's my favorite. My ick and L said you do a song with Nip. Kate, I hear a better grip. I said he a man first. You hear the words out his lips. Without flourishing from the streets to black businesses. Level 4 yard living, given to false imprisonment. Listen close, my nigga. It's bigger than deuces and foes, my nigga. In this elementary, we close, my nigga. And you're straight like that. I give you the game, go back to the turf and give it right back. For generations, we've been dealt bad hands with bad plans. Prove your dedication by hopping out Grand Am. I'm at the premiere, politicking with Top Nip and Snoop. Man, clock watching the way we move. Dedication.
If it ain't congratulating, it look like hate. If it ain't congratulating, it look like what Nip
said. Hold up.
Nah. This ain't entertainment. It's fucking on a slave ship. These soldiers, the spirituals I swam against them waves with. Ended up on shore to their amazement. I hope the example I set's not contagious. Lockers behind gates, but can't tame us. Used to be stay safe, now stay dangerous. Cause ain't no point playing defense. That's why I dove off the deep end without a life jacket. Couple meals for the world, all my life cracking. Cook the books, bring it back, so it's no taxes. Royalties, publishing, plus our own masters. I be made if I slave, must the bikes. Harris, I was mapping this out, I hit the heights backwards. Topping out the 85 and Reebok classics. Read a couple marathons just to get established. To make it happen, you got to have dedication.
Hard work, plus patience, to some more of my sacrifice. I'm done waiting, I'm done waiting. Told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication.
Okay, we're back, and you're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations. I want to bring our student host, Walter Pierce. Do you have another segment for us, or do you want to make a comment about Nipsey Hussle?
Well, yeah, I'll make a short comment about Nipsey Hussle. You know, just somebody of this generation that, you know, that had a lot of promise, that had a lot of good ideas for his community, and just wanted the best for Compton, and you just have to give him a big shout out for that. Because, again, somebody, him, like Bessie Coleman, they had good intentions, but, you know, their life, both of their lives were cut so short that they weren't able to fulfill those goals they had. But to move on to my next segment of today, I want to go into a definition. And see, the definition that I have picked for today relates to both of my diamonds today. And, you know, the definition for today is patent. And see, a patent is a government authority or license conferring a right or title for a set period, especially the sole right to exclude others from making, using, or selling an invention. You know, this relates to both my segments for today because, first with Frank Mann especially, you know, he was an inventor, and he was somebody that helped create a lot of things. And him being a person of color, during that time, it was hard for people of color to get patents for what they wanted to create, for inventions they created. You know, and usually their European counterparts would get a lot of the credit for it if they were working with one. Like, for example, Louis Latimer, he created a filament for the light bulb that without that, the light bulb wouldn't work. But, you know, Thomas Edison gets really all the credit for creating it. But you don't really hear about Louis Latimer unless you actually do research on it, who without his piece, the light bulb wouldn't even work. So that's just an example of a person of color who was an inventor who, you know, just doesn't really get that much credit, you know. But now I want to mention this patent because, you know, for people who are inspired, you know, who want to pursue this type of fields that Frank Mann, even Bessie Coleman go into, that, you know, you might have an invention that you have or a problem you could solve. You know, make sure that you go out there and get a patent because you want your invention to get the credit for what you created, because there is people out there that will try to take advantage of your invention or what you have created. So, you know, just make sure you go out there and get a patent, get it protected, and, you know, hopefully you learn something from that. So I just want to thank you.
Okay, we're going to go to our sister, right, Tanisha Gardner. Talk to us.
Yeah, I know it's a quote from the Bible. Bible, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be in ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So that being said, basically you must know who you are, and like you said, always keep records of what you're doing, and the truth will always come out.
Okay, we're going to now invite our guest,
that are on the line, right, to pay attention. As I open up the line, we have Calvin make a question or a comment before we close out the show.
Happy New Year to each and one of you radio journalists. Great show. Keep up the good work. 2020 is in our rearview mirror, and hopefully that we see better prosperity going to the 2021 year, guys. Good luck.
Thank you. Okay, Joey, you're on the air. Are you there? Okay, absolutely. On the air. Okay. Do you have any questions or comments? Wait a second. Here you go.
Hi, I enjoyed the show. It was very informative. Happy New Year and great prosperity in 2021.
Okay, we're going to move right on. Val, you're up next. Question or comment?
Yes, great show. Looking forward to continued success in 2021.
Thank you so much. Mr. Harris, you're up. Question or comment, summing up, summation.
Yeah, like only thing I can say, I'm just glad 2020, like the brother says, in our rearview mirror. And that gives us 4 days of new opportunities to be able to move forward in the future.
3 seconds, Chris, summing up the show.
Yep, everybody, it was a wonderful, wonderful show today. I wish everybody a happy new year. Show was very informative, and I wish to see you all next week when we log back into 89.5 Quest Community Vibrations.
Okay, Walter, close us out.
You know, I want to thank everybody for listening to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. We're on 89.5 WSOU, and our motto is Quest Youth Radio is the best.
The best youth radio.
Thank you so much. Thank you.